Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express.
Jaguars Thursday.
Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Right. Now. Good evening and welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in downtown Jacksonville. Time for Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli. Joe Fortunato's here. Occasionally he'll pull the microphone down. Sometimes he'll actually take your calls. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And our broadcast this evening is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Big story, combine underway in Indianapolis. Measurement started today. Media started today. Saturday is when the actual football starts and runs through early next week. Guys, you both have been there.
It's crazy. I mean, here it is a Thursday, and it's already dominating the news, and a player has yet to do anything.
They're just looking at
athletic.
Size today, yeah.
I think the NFL does a masterful job in that they create this buzz because today all of these different people around the league spoke, and it started off with Joe Philbin. With all the controversy going on in Miami, the NFL stuck him right out there and said, "Here you go, everybody. Have at him.
Come get him.
Come get him." And, and he stuttered and stammered a little bit. That's the brilliance of having, you know, the combine be more than about just the players, you know.
When you guys went there, it was really just about the players.
Yeah,
I mean,
they didn't have Radio Row.
Well, you were there in 89, right?
They didn't have media there. Coaches weren't there to be interviewed or any of that.
There were some writers that were there covering.
Yeah, but they weren't there to be interviewed and have a little sit-down press conference and talk about the state of their team or anything.
And there was some media there that might grab you in the hallway.
Some writers. A little bit,
but yeah, it was all informal.
It was very informal, and there was no press conference. They didn't say, "Hey, okay, here's your time to go to the podium and talk to whoever."
So if you're a guy who's showing up, I forget what program. I mean a program like USC – you know, they get lots of attention anyway. But if you're a guy from, I don't know, South Dakota, there's a linebacker I was reading about from South Dakota. How overwhelming is the combine experience now compared to what it might have been 20 years ago?
It's probably more tiring mentally than it is physically. Because, I mean, it's not like you're doing a ton of tests. I mean, you're just doing a couple tests. You know, the bench press test, the 40 test, the cone drill, all those little things. But the daily schedule is so full. Because of medicals, because of interviews. You know, medicals is not just go to one room and spend an hour and they check you out. I mean, you have to go to every different team station broken up, and I think they have six or eight different stations where you have to go to each one and they pull and prod. And
you get the MRIs, X-rays.
You get more sore from that than you do the actual physical work that you do there.
The worst day of the whole
is the physical, which is the first. That's the main reason for the combine.
Are they repeating tests at station to station?
Yes.
So you get an MRI here, you might get an MRI over there.
No.
You might get one MRI. You get one MRI, one X-rays on body parts they're worried about, maybe past injuries.
But you might have 32 doctors pull on that body part that got an MRI.
The doctors will I had dislocated my kneecap my junior year. And so 15 doctors tried to see if they could dislocate my kneecap.
With their hands?
They're jammering out, pushing as hard as they could. I'm like, listen, doc, I mean, it feels pretty good until you did that.
Exactly. I don't need another injury. Thank you very much.
And now you have a schedule to where you go and you talk to all these different teams. You've got to take the intelligence test, which Tony did not do very well in at all. I saw a score.
That's not true. You're making that up.
Now, is that the Wonderlic that everybody's heard so much about?
Yeah, the Wonderlic.
Before we pass on, because, I mean, some people may have taken it.
I got another
work.
Test, too, though. It's like, are you an axe murderer test?
No, that's different. It's
how'd you do on that one, Tony?
I have no idea what I actually scored on the Wonderlic. Do you know what you got?
I have no idea.
Do either one of you remember?
I just know that I did not score as well as Don Davey, the former Jaguar genius.
I didn't. I know that.
Yeah.
But did you score as low as some of the people, and I don't even want to mention
their
names?
I distinctly remember that in 1989, I did much better than Derek Thomas, Broderick Thomas, and who's the other one I'm trying to think of? Those two. I think they got fours.
Yeah, there were some Jaguars, if you remember, that got in range, too.
Yeah, you get a four for writing your name.
Yeah.
Well, the first few questions are so easy.
All right, so what was the most difficult or awkward question? Do you remember?
I don't even remember.
I don't either. I don't remember.
Because I've never even taken it, so no, I don't know what it is.
Well, I think you can get online and take sample Wonderlic test.
I might do that during the break.
Put it on there.
We'll see what you score.
Oh, dear God, no.
I know, but by the end of it, some of the questions are hard, like hard math questions. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, you want like scrap paper to where you could kind of do some figuring.
How about the interview process when you're in a team's suite in their hotel? Because I was reading this morning about how important one reporter thought that it was that Manziel, in fact, it was a guy from the Houston Chronicle, that this was where Manziel, Johnny Football, was going to either solidify or his spot in the top five, or he was going to slide.
I don't believe that.
Based on his ability to convince the team.
I don't believe that you can solidify anything at the combine. I think you can help
some
yourself.
Some guys would disagree with you.
I think you can help yourself.
Mike
and
Malmo
I think
would disagree
you can
with you.
Hurt yourself. But I don't believe that the combine is going to be the tell-all be-all for any individual.
Upside, I think it can. I think it can make a huge difference in where your perception and where you're drafted. I mean, we see it every year. Vernon Golston.
You're talking about the physical testing.
That's what I'm saying, and
I get that.
But I'm talking the whole combine. I'm not just talking
the interview. And that can happen every now and again with certain guys. But if Johnny Manziel goes and interviews with
the Houston Texans, I agree with you.
You can't do anything with that. Because you know what? These guys are so coached up now to where they literally have combine coaches in every aspect. They're specifically training for certain things physically. They're also having people prepare them for the questioning part of it. And if I'm
so scripted.
If I'm the interviewer, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this guy's full of baloney because his answers are so standard pattern that he's been coached.
Yeah, the only way, I mean, if you come across as a complete JA, then maybe it hurts you.
JA?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Right, that's exactly.
You can say that.
Yeah.
Well, I know, I just thought I'd let you do it.
Hey, here's a question both of you would appreciate from the Wonderlic. A roast was cooked, doesn't say what kind, at 325 degrees in the oven.
Too high. Way
for
4 too high
hours,
of temperature.
The internal temperature rose from 32 degrees Fahrenheit to 145 degrees. What was the average rise in temperature per hour?
Say that again now.
So a roast
four
was
hours.
Cooked 4 hours at 325.
142.
It started at 32, went to 145. What was the average per hour?
That's 113 divided by 4. Or 112 divided by 4.
Is it an average increase per hour?
Per hour, yeah.
Divided by 4, and that's your answer.
Just figured that might... I mean, so as much cooking 18, as you do.
18 degrees. And,
all right. Well, that seems like a pretty simple question. You're right. There's lots of math. In 25 questions that I've gone through already, the first 80% are math related.
But see,
how about the first one? How easy is the first question?
The first one is round this number to the tenth.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
For the listeners, tell everybody what the first question
is. Here's the first question from the Wonderlic sample quiz. And it does say sample questions are similar to those found on the Wonderlic exam. You have 12 minutes to answer 50 questions.
Right.
Round 907.457 to the nearest tens place. 908, 910, 907.5, 900, or 907.46. What is it?
Multiple choice, by the way.
Yeah.
Why are you all looking at me like, okay, let's get the lowest common denominator here to answer this question?
That's exactly what we're doing.
We were hoping that you would just belt it out.
I'm not answering.
That's the first one. First person to call.
Fail.
With the answer. No, don't, because it'll be a math teacher in that. Well, I'm looking for something that's really kind of awkward.
Go to the 50s. I mean, go like the question 47, 48, 49.
Let me just add something here. That roast, okay, first of all, you don't cook it at roast at 325. Yeah. That's way too high. You
want to
cook
dry.
A little bit, slow and low is the way to go.
But I don't think that would be one of the answers on the test.
And let me add something, is that the increase in temperature I don't think would be uniform throughout three hours.
That's why I said average, mean. It would be average.
When we're talking about meat, these guys are the guys to know. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will have J.P. Shadrick from Jaguars.com.
He failed the first question on the Wonderlic, too, by the way.
Who did?
J.P. Shadrick.
How do you know?
I just know.
Okay. It's 907.5, by the way.
Keep
just
that
in case
up, because we're gonna quiz him on that as soon as we get him on.
All right, it's up. He joins us after this break from Indianapolis. Don't forget, you can get ready for your watching of the NFL Combine live on the NFL Network. That's a gratuitous plug. By stopping at Gate, you'll need the snacks, food, and drinks, and more. The rating show, folks, that people watch it. Stop by Gate and get prepared today. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday brought to you by Fanatics.com. Talking Combine here. That's the top story on Jaguars Thursday as we are getting you ready for a weekend in which you will see endless amounts of information about players, heights, weights. John Osher is there as part of Jaguars.com's coverage. And by the way, that includes live coverage that you can expect every Wednesday. You can join John and JP Shadrick for Jaguars.com live at noon. They'll have special guests keep you informed with the latest Jaguars news, take social media questions and phone calls. Jaguars.com live every Wednesday at noon on Jaguars.com. Johnny, how are you?
I'm glad you ordered it that way. John and JP rather than the other way around. I think you got it right.
Well, no, you know, I tried, John. I tried to be right. Just ask my wife. So here we go. The coverage is rolling. Tell us, give us an overview of the themes besides Joe Philbin of today at the Combine.
Well, I spent most of the time, you know, focused on Dave Caldwell talk. And, you know, up here when your GM or your head coach talks, that sort of dominates your day. So we wrote a lot about Dave and talked about Dave. And really the theme that he keeps hitting on, which is really becoming the theme of the offseason, is that he is not married to the idea of taking a quarterback at three. And, you know, that every time he's quoted, every time he talks about it, I think people don't want to believe that. But from listening to him, you know, they won't force a decision. I mean, they won't force a quarterback at that spot. So I think that's really becoming the theme that people are going to watch for this team until the draft. I mean, it's I think people want to not believe that because they see your quarterback being a need. But he's pretty insistent that he's not going to force the issue.
Yeah, I don't want to say that that David Caldwell is completely transparent and that he gives you all the trade secrets and such. But, John, the one thing that I have learned in the amount of time that I've been around David is that he's pretty upfront, you know. It's not like he's trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying he's trying to be secretive.
Right, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's exactly what, as I was writing the editorial for later in the day today talking about this, you know, I kind of made the point of, you know, he's not going to give you his top five, but he's also not going to spend the whole off season talking about something that's in his thoughts if it's not really in his thoughts. And I think you pick up the same vibe. He's not going to sit there and just intentionally lead you in the wrong direction. He may not share, but if he's saying they're strongly considering that there may not be a guy there that they believe is a franchise changer, and that's what he's believing right now. Now, could one of them fall? Could they change their mind on one of them? Sure. But I think right now, you know, he's really comfortable with the plan of maybe having Henny compete with a later round guy. They really want to re-sign Chad. And I don't think that's a smokescreen.
355 NFL 1-800-355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program, we're talking to John Osher of Jaguars.com, who is in Indianapolis for the Combine.
John, how long did you talk? Was this just Dave's general press conference where he was at the podium, correct?
Yeah, and I talked to him last night. When they got in, JP and I got him for video and for the web. And then what happens is the GMs usually step off to the side afterwards. So me and O'Halloran and Hayes Carlin, you know, guys like that talked to him after the podium. So we talked quite a while this week.
Did obviously, they've got 10 picks in the draft. Did he mention anything again, because I know he talked about possibly trading down to acquire more picks?
Yeah, if you have a computer or an app there, Jeff, my story for Jaguars.com says that. But,
So there.
Yeah, but this is radio, yeah. John. You need to repeat yourself.
So there.
No.
He's trying to give you a shameless opportunity to promote your story is what he's doing.
Right, exactly. No, I think he'd like to. I think he would have liked to last year. You know, the question always becomes, at number three, will there be a guy that another team falls in love with enough to entice them to come up? And, you know, that's what you sort of hope for. I think he would like that because I think he looks at it and says, okay, there's probably a player who could really help them at number five just as much as the player at number three would. But will some other team want whoever's sitting there at number three? So last year there wasn't. They got no interest at number two. And but I'm sure he'd like to because he knows at this point 12 picks would be better than 10 picks in this draft because it's a very deep, talented draft.
John, we'll talk at nauseam the Jaguars, what they're going to do in the draft and everything else, especially coming out of the combine. I look forward to the Osher mock draft 1.0 coming out here soon once the combine.
It'll be coming up soon.
Good. I'm looking forward to that. It's one of my favorite reads of the year, frankly. What's your favorite part of the combine, though? I mean, I know you're going to be there all week riding. What's the thing you look most forward to during your time, your week in Indy? Is it the workouts? Is it the interviews? Is it the media time? Is it when they parade around in their underwear? I mean, what's your favorite part?
Well, it's always interesting because it's different than when you came through, Tony. When you came through, there really wasn't the media sessions with the players. You probably talked to a couple of reporters.
Right.
But there wasn't the podium. And I don't even know what happened when Logman came through. That was so long ago. Uh-huh. But
one thing we know is he had a mullet back then. That's about all we know.
Yeah, exactly. But so it's interesting to me to see the real high-profile guys, how they respond. A lot of these guys who are big picks, when Clowney gets on that podium on Saturday, it'll probably be the most cameras he's ever had around him. It's a very different environment here than probably anything they face. So it's sort of interesting to see how they handle that. And I know a lot of it's rehearsed, and they've been trained by the agent. But you can sort of get a feel for, you know, I remember 02, 03, whenever he came out, Troy Polamalu being on the podium. And he was just an impressive guy that you thought, boy, if this guy can play, he can probably handle everything else. You know, so does that tell you how good they're going to be as a player? No, because I thought David Carr was impressive on the podium. So it doesn't matter, but it's interesting to sort of get an up-close feel for these guys.
Yeah, that was 02 when he came out. And okay. And obviously you were right on that one. So is the buzz all about quarterback up there, or is the pass rush at the top of the draft getting as much?
Well, the buzz on Saturday will obviously be Michael Sam. I mean, that'll be a huge off-field story. Probably the biggest media contention around him that they'll ever be at the combine, you know, in terms of an off-field story. But in terms of on the field, especially for the Jaguars, it's quarterback and a pass rush. And you started to hear a lot more this week about Khalil Mack, the kid from Buffalo. Obviously, they're talking about Clowney and the three quarterbacks. Those five players are sort of the guys who are getting a lot of the buzz.
Now, I know that the NFL Network, every year, Rich Eisen runs a 40. And Jaguars.com, I expect nothing less. Are we going to see you decked out in tight Under Armour clothing and get a 40 time on you at the combine this year, Johnny O?
Yeah, that's so not something anybody wants to see. But I did a version of that last year after we got back from the combine, and Mark Lamping pulled me aside and said we really don't need to see that much more of that.
There's nothing truth to set you free.
Yeah, I mean it was, you know, all kidding aside, we get the whole ozone shtick, but that's a bit much.
You know, John, one of the guys that I would guess is going to have probably a difficult time in some of the interviews, especially in light of what Steve Spurrier had said recently, would be Jadeveon Clowney. Steve Spurrier had a lot of glowing things to say about some of the other players that have come through South Carolina, but, you know, he hasn't said a lot of great things about Clowney besides when the guy's on the field, he's fantastic. But away from the field, he has not been very glowing. Will that lead to a lot of questions from brass and media at this podium?
I'm sure it'll lead to a lot from brass. Usually what happens with the media sessions here, it is usually with four or five guys, there's a topic like that that's uncomfortable for the player to address. He's kind of asked a couple of times. I doubt Clowney will stay very much insightful in that way. I mean, he'll say, you know, he'll say his stance that his agent has sort of coached him to say, and I'm sure he'll say my work ethic's fine, you know, and it may be. But I don't think it'll be completely where it's just back to that topic over and over again from the media. But with the teams, where he's talking to 32 different teams, it'll probably come up 32 different times.
All right, John, we've got to run. We appreciate it, and we'll look for more coverage from you in Indianapolis on Jaguars.com.
What was that again, John?
Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Jaguars.com, Jaguars app. What was that big story again?
Yeah, something about the internet, the interweb, whatever it's called.
See you, Johnny.
That's all right, John. Guys. Thank you.
All right, that's John Osier in Indianapolis. Catch up with him, J.P. Shadrick. Every day, their coverage of the NFL Combine. When we continue, we'll talk with these guys, Buscelli and Logan, about their experience at the Combine. Free agency is just a little over 3 weeks away, and we'll talk about that also. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday. Time for news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford invites you to go further. Brian Sexton back with you in the HananiaAutos.com studio. Here for Jaguars Thursday, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato. A couple of guys held on the phone lines through the...
Before we go there, I got a bone to pick.
Well, I was trying to take care of them because they held through, but go ahead, pick your bone.
Who are they? What's their names?
Well, I mean, Sonny and Kevin. They've just been waiting, but go ahead,
Sonny
pick your bone.
Sonny and Kevin, relax. So who...
You heard that, Sonny and Kevin.
How many people are... I mean, there's three players in the pride of the Jaguars, right?
Correct.
Okay. How many of them are on the show, do a weekly show here with you two?
Well, is it this moment?
No, but year-round.
You.
Me, one.
Okay.
Why are their pictures up here and not mine? Why are their pride of Joe? That's my question.
Because
to
you're here live.
And we get to see you every week.
Thank you. That's a good
You're
answer.
The best poster.
That makes me feel better, but I don't think that's the reason.
Good one, Loggy.
It's the same reason when I went to Joe's house the first time and went down to his man cave, and he had, like, every Jaguar on his wall except for me. I said, Joe, is there some personal here?
Joe,
maybe the pictures are trying to tell you something.
Yeah, I mean, that's my whole point. Are we trying to make a move here?
There's, you know, one of your successors at left tackle has his photo in here, and he's gone. And then look at, there's Loggy up above there.
Trust me, I'm looking around and noticing.
I mean, even the clown, the costume.
The clown. He's a clown, all right. There's quite
Don't
a few people.
Say that Jackson about Jackson.
No, I love him, but you know what
but
I mean.
Anyways, that was my, I just noticed that. Started looking around.
All right, so you know. Can we get past this?
It's all about you, Tony.
Me talking. Can we go to Sonny and Kevin now?
But it was just an observation more than anything.
Joe?
I mean, I still have in the studio or the broadcast booth, it still says guest on my name. It says Brian, Jeff, Joe, guest.
Joe, do you have anything to say about that?
My goodness.
I mean, your house doesn't have any photos
in
here.
No photos. No photos in here, and I'm a guest.
Are you done, guest?
Yes. Go ahead to the callers now. I was just curious.
All right. Well, okay.
Bone to pick.
There's a little meditation that needs to happen, a little relaxation. Sonny is at the beach. Hello, Sonny. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, guys. quick comment on what we were talking about with Dave Caldwell and how it looks like, you know, he may not necessarily be in love with the quarterback, so he may not take the three. My concern is that, there may not be a franchise quarterback at the top of the draft, but they're still very good quarterbacks. And so if the quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater or Manziel, is a top 10 overall player in the draft, wouldn't you take him? Because we don't have plans, hopefully, to be picking in the top 10 for the next few years, hopefully. I mean, this is giving us our best chance to get the top quarterback in the draft, who is considered by most to be a top 10 pick. And instead, if we go with, I mean, I can understand if Clowney is there, but you go with Khalil Mack, who may be a very good defensive end, why wouldn't you take a very good quarterback over a very good defensive end, since the quarterback makes such an impact in the NFL? Whereas, look what happened with Houston. They have a great defensive end. But with no quarterback play, they're a terrible football team.
It's a fair point. I mean, I think there's counterpoints. I look at San Francisco and Seattle built around everywhere else and then plugged a second and third round quarterbacks. And those, Kaepernick and Russell Wilson, while they've played fabulous this year, if they're on average teams, I doubt we even talk about them. And so that's the counterpoint. I would ask you this. If you look, and let's say, I'm not sure I agree with you that Manziel or Bridgewater are one of the three best players in the draft, because we picked three. So let's look at the three best players. I will give you, for the benefit of the doubt, that one of those guys is the three best players. The other two, I think right now everyone would agree, is Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver from Clemson, is one of the best players in the draft, and Jadeveon Clowney, the defensive end from South Carolina. If you took those three, either quarterback, I don't care, pick Manziel or Bridgewater, Sammy Watkins, Jadeveon Clowney. Of those three, which one of those has the greatest potential for success versus the greatest potential for failure? And I say looking at it this way because you are a team in the Jaguars that have a lot of holes, that need a lot of good players. I don't think just plugging in a quarterback, even if it's a good quarterback and not a franchise quarterback like you say, is going to make the difference to put this team over the top. I do think if you add a bunch of Sammy Watkins, Jadeveon Clowney type players, or at least one of those that are impact players immediately, it changes your franchise quicker.
Well, and let me add this in, and I think I heard you say, I want to make sure I've got it right because I don't want to paraphrase. You said, why not take this opportunity to take one of the best quarterbacks at the top of the draft, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, and I've been a defender of his, but in 2011, most people thought that Blaine Gabbert was one of those guys, and that Christian Ponder was one of those guys, and that Jake Locker was one of those guys, that they were among the best. They were all taken in the top 13. And so if you just approach that mentality, well, I want the best of this position in this draft, first of all, there's no guarantee that they are what they advertise themselves to be, and that there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to do what you want them to do. So I'm with Tony on this one. You know, you make your evaluation and you go with the best player for a team that doesn't just need the quarterback.
And I think you got to treat that position a little bit differently, that you have to feel strongly that he can be the guy. Or you wait and try to pick a guy that you feel good about later in the draft. Because if you pick a guy that high, he's going to be your guy for 4 years, 5 years minimum.
Well, or three, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because Gabbert's going to
Gabbert got three.
Good, yeah, three. So,
yeah. Bottom line is just pick
but you don't get any
player.
Closer take, to your rebuild.
Take the best
who
player.
Who you think is the best player to help you get better.
Does that make sense, Sonny?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes sense.
But you disagree.
But Sonny, yeah, Sonny, you make a great point. You make a great point in that the quarterback position, by far and away, impacts the game quicker and more so than any other position. I mean, you're right on the money there.
Just a great point that none of us agree with. So that's our way of trying to be nice, that we think you're wrong.
Well, we just don't have a quarterback at all. I mean, you know, I think Chad Henne is an average. We know what we have with Chad Henne. And so I guess the theory is that...
Well, they're going to take a quarterback, Sonny. So they're going to take a quarterback. I'm just not necessarily a three.
Right, but, you know, those other quarter... I don't know. I mean, I guess...
Who do you want him to take?
I would want him to take Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he has, you know, he's a very accurate quarterback. He's taller than Russell Wilson. He's got a lot of the Russell Wilson characteristics. He's very fluid in the pocket. I mean, you know, which is the absolute opposite of the last two quarterbacks that we drafted. And, you know, so you see the potential for a guy who has, if he can throw to Blackman and Schwartz and Mercedes Lewis and Mike Brown and all these guys that have the speed, he could be a difference maker for us just by the simple fact that he's accurate and can move in the pocket.
No, he could be. He's a fantastic player. I mean, his accuracy is out of this world.
We watched some of his game. I forget who they were playing when we were in Indianapolis at the end of the year.
I would argue that you need to upgrade. Let's just talk offensively. You need to upgrade at every position offensively. I mean, who knows when you're going to get Justin Blackman back. And is Justin Blackman a bona fide number one guy? You need to upgrade you got to figure out what you're going to do at the receiving, at the running back position. You need to upgrade the interior offensive line. Is Mercedes Lewis really a pass-catching tight end? No, he's a run-blocking guy. So you're telling me with all those holes, you're going to put a rookie quarterback in there and all of a sudden he's going to succeed? I have a hard time with that.
And there's lots of time to go. So you don't have to make up your mind today that that's where you're going. And, you know, let's see where the evaluations take place over the next couple of weeks.
I mean, you don't even know where Justin Blackman's going to be.
No, but, I mean, Sonny makes a good point. I mean, about the importance of the position and how impactful that it can be.
We've determined that. We're basically patronizing him, saying, good point, but you're wrong.
No, I'm not saying he's wrong.
Yeah, but that's what you said.
No, I didn't say he was wrong.
You're trying to be nice. I appreciate that. Sonny appreciates it. We like you, Sonny, but you're wrong.
All right, Sonny, thanks so much for the call. Let's grab Kevin in Mandarin. Kevin, you better be right. These guys will tell you if you're not.
I don't know if I'm right or not, but I'm relaxing because when Tony Pacelli tells me to relax, I relax.
Good, so great.
It's all right.
I will just bounce real quick off Sonny and there the last caller and agree. I'm a Bridgewater guy myself, but my question is surrounding Manziel. And I'll disclose, I'm not a huge fan of the guy myself personally. Howard Cosell said the other day.
Howard Cosell is back from the grave? You mean Greg Cosell?
Greg Cosell.
Howard, I apologize, Greg Cosell.
It's all right. I thought maybe.
Are they related, by the way?
Son.
Son,
Greg Cosell is Howard's son, I believe.
I thought.
I'm not sure, but I know that Howard did not speak to you, and if he did, you really got an interesting
life. No, he
didn't.
I don't have superpowers. Greg, and he kind of echoed the sentiments.
Nephew.
There you go. He kind of echoed the sentiments that Pete made on the show, I believe a couple months ago after the college season was over, where when they said they watched the tape of him against LSU and Mizzou, which as many people know are two of the top defenses in both the SEC and the country, that he not only just didn't look like a first-round pick or a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, they said he looked undraftable. And, you know, that's a really big concern for me when you're talking about a guy potentially going in the top 10, maybe top 3 or even top 5. And I guess I kind of just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that because I really respect both their opinions that you know when they made them, and I respect y'all's opinions too. So
well,
I kind of wanted to bounce that off you guys.
I'll say this. I haven't watched the coach's tape of Johnny Manziel. I mean, I've watched him live, and it's exciting, and he does amazing things. Spectacular plays. You don't know what is happening down the field because we don't watch the All-22, which shows the entire field. I do trust Greg Cosell. He's actually very good at what he does. He studies a lot of coaches' tape. And I heard him the other day, and he made a great point. And if he's – and there's no reason he would be lying. He watched a bunch of games where Johnny made big plays, and the big plays were a result of him missing wide-open guys in the progression. And he ended up, because of his athletic ability and his escapability of doing and still scoring touchdowns or doing whatever. And as the average fan, you watch, you're like, oh, my gosh, this guy's amazing.
He's amazing.
The reality is the simple play was there he didn't make. And the question is why? And that, I agree with Kevin, is concerning. Listen, Johnny Manziel is fun to watch, most exciting guy.
I don't see them taking Manziel anyway.
I wouldn't take him.
Look at where David Caldwell's come from. Indianapolis, Peyton Manning, pocket passer. Matt Ryan in Atlanta, pocket passer. Those guys have more longevity. They have a better health record. I don't see David Caldwell drafting that type of quarterback.
I'm going to take it a step further. In Carolina, he was there with
Kerry Collins,
and Steve Berline. So, I mean, that's his entire career in the National Football League. Kevin, we certainly appreciate your phone call.
Good
355.
Call, Kevin. That was much better. Good job. I mean, Sonny was good, too. But
rate the callers?
Oh, why not? They rate us.
The Bocelli scale?
They're honestly, everyone's rating us listening, saying we don't know what we're talking about. We're idiots. They like us. They like me. They don't like you guys.
They probably have a picture of you there somewhere in their house.
Probably. They like me much more. I'm probably more comfortable around them than you. I know I like them better than I like Joe.
Soft, cuddly, Tony Bocelli,
that's
ladies
it.
And gentlemen.
Thank
here
you
on your
much.
Radio dial on Thursday nights.
All the time.
We'll take a break. Come back to the HenneyAutos.com studio for a final segment of Jaguars Thursday after this.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, so a whole lot more to come from the Combine over the next week or so as it plays out. I was in error right before the bottom of the hour. I said that free agency begins in a little over 3 weeks. It's actually
March
11th. A little under 3 weeks. It is 3 weeks from this past Tuesday.
March 11th March is 11th. The opening of free agency. And this team will be spending some money.
Well, and they've got the money to spend. That's
well,
the interesting
and
part.
I don't know if you saw it, but the cap
went up 5%,
130.
$130 million, you know, whereas last year, what was it, 123?
123.
5% higher than they thought.
$7 million. That's good.
Yeah, they thought it's higher than they thought it was going to be.
So, I mean, this is a team that has, and both Gus and Dave said it at the fan forums that I co-hosted a couple of weeks ago, that they have no salary cap issues. I mean, they don't have a player that's
second lowest in the league.
Exactly. And there's no player with a contract that's prohibitive. I mean, they, in other words, the question was asked, do you have to do some things to get where you want to be? Paul Posluszny, Mercedes Lewis. And they said, we do not have to make decisions about salary. We make decisions about players. So as you look, and obviously the next couple of weeks up to that March 11th date, you'll have teams tagging and getting deals done in their exclusive negotiating periods. But do you suppose that there will be a high-dollar target for this football team.
Absolutely.
So the Greg Hardys, the Alex Max, I mean, those are the big names that are out there. Someone's getting to the market.
Yeah, I think I mean, a lot can happen with these guys.
And it generally does.
And I will say this. If Alex Mack or Hardy, if they don't get to the market, they're crazy. I mean, what do you have to lose?
You mean if you're the players, don't sign a deal?
No, absolutely not.
Because neither one of them is going to get tagged.
No, they don't want to, but they can get tagged.
Well, I don't think either one will.
Yes, I'm saying. Mack can get tagged.
But it's tied to the left tackle, which means that he's tagged at a $12 million.
They can't afford
it. And they've got Joe Thomas.
But as a player, though, there's absolutely no reason to sign an extension now.
No. Unless it's just such a big deal that you
can't. So in other words,
but how do you know if it's a big deal until you get to the market to find out what the market's going to tell you what a big deal is?
So what you're saying is that if Alex Mack is offered a $50 million deal by the Browns, sit on it because it'll probably still be there?
Hey.
Well, the only risk is if no one else offers him a $50 million deal and the Browns can now go, well, we'll offer you $45.
That's a risk you take, but I take that chance every day of the week.
Well, that's why you
And if I'm the Jaguars, I'm all over Alex Mack.
Well, who would you be over more, Alex Mack or Greg Hardy?
Alex Mack.
No way, Greg Hardy.
Well, now this is an interesting conversation.
Greg Hardy, without a doubt.
The offensive lineman says the defensive lineman. The defensive lineman says the offensive lineman.
Greg Hardy is a stud.
He's a great player. I know he is.
You put him in that Leo position with his hand down, and he is going to create havoc.
Does he have the athleticism to drop?
Absolutely.
Cover.
I've watched it. He's a double-digit sack guy. Listen, he's just as athletic or more athletic than Clemens, and that's who played the Leo forever at Seattle. He is a double-digit, better chip him, better double him, better game plan him type of pass rusher. I would take him. Listen, I'm an offensive lineman. Center is becoming one of the more important positions. I mean, almost like a left tackle because you have to really protect A gaps and everything else and the way defenses are in the way quarterbacks now are not getting the seven-step drops as much. They're stepping up. With all that said, I think it's easier to find a center than a franchise pass rusher.
The only reason that I say that is that offensive lineman, first of all, Alex Mack has been
great player.
Durable. I think he's arguably the best center in the AFC.
Well, look, every time we play the Browns.
Would you disagree with that?
No.
But, yeah, I mean, but great player.
Greg Hardy's 26-year-old
pass rusher.
No, I know he is. And Alex Mack is a 26-year-old center.
Okay, I'm just saying it's easier to find a center than a pass rusher.
I totally agree with that.
You can cover up a center's weakness better than being exposed with having no pass rusher.
Which guy would cost more money?
Oh gosh, the pass rusher
all day long.
But we just said money's not an issue.
No,
we have all the money in the world.
Then get them both.
No, I would, but it's not my money.
Take them both.
I'll say this: I think Dave and Gus and the Jaguars will be. I think they have a target. I don't know who it is. I think they're going to go after one guy that first day.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't get him, then they're going to sit back and let the thing play out, and then they'll be enter back in later.
When you've got as much cap room as this team has, you should get him.
Well, no, but
if he hits the marketplace.
No, Dave is a disciplined guy in the sense that he has a number he's willing to pay, and he won't overpay for a guy.
Well, you always overpay in free agency.
No, you know what I mean. But you won't overpay. I don't see them going – Mario Williams.
No.
That's Buffalo. $100 million.
I just don't see that. Now, you could argue Greg Hardy's just as good as Mario Williams, or if not better. You look the last couple years to play.
Well, the center's a whole lot more cost effective then, because the top centers in this game are getting, $50 million contracts with 12 to 15 guaranteed, right?
Yeah, but they don't make the impact that the pass rusher does.
No, they don't on the game.
But you have a young quarterback you're probably going to put in there. That position's pretty important.
I'm not sure you're going to have a young quarterback this year. I put even money that Chad Henne is the starting quarterback for all 16 games this year.
Well, that's a good bet.
Maybe.
Oh, it's even money. I'm not saying it's 100%, but I'm saying 50. I mean, it's where if we had had this conversation 4 months ago, we had all said, 100-1 that someone else is playing quarterback than Chad Henne.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny how things quickly change.
Well, the other thing that impacts this, obviously, is what Dave and Gus – come away with from the combine, their opinion of the pass rushers over the next couple of weeks.
Well, how about this? There's going to be a bunch of free agents. Chris Clemens, a couple guys. There's going to be
Michael Bennett.
There's
going to
be
today.
Guys. They're going to be free. What if you go get one of those guys? Maybe you get a mid guy.
Well, in the draft has quite a few.
Yeah, I was going to say at the top of the draft, Khalil Mack.
So are you better off going, if both those guys are free, are you better off going center
Anthony Barr
and two middle-of-the-road Leos or the big pass rusher, and what do you find? As I mean, there's a lot of options.
Give me two Leos.
There you go. All right, folks, that'll
do
it.
Everything.
Don't forget, Jaguars.com has great coverage of the NFL Combine.
Yeah, just ask John Osher.
Just ask him. It's all right there for you. Have a great night and a special weekend, folks. It's going to be beautiful. Have a good one.